May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is 1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. He says that we are precious in the sight of God. We don't always act precious in the sight of God, but it doesn't change the fact that we are precious in the sight of God to him. And the issue, as it says in that verse 3, is that we've tasted the kindness of God. Scripture says, taste the Lord and see that he is good, that he's kind. There's a place in Romans that says a pretty remarkable thing about God's kindness. This is verse 4 of 2, chapter 2. Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? For CTKers, we'll talk more about this Sunday, but it's important that we think what that scripture says. And what it doesn't say is that God will gently lead you into repentance. He'll be kind to you in leading you to repentance instead of being rough with you. What that says is something about the character of God, which leads a person to repentance. It's the kindness of God that leads a man or woman to repentance. In other words, coming to understand that God is kind, that's his nature. He's a kind person. He's not mean-spirited. And any time that God, there's judgment involved, it says in the Old Testament that's a strange act on God's behalf. It's a strange thing for him to have to allow to happen. But the truth is, God's sweet. You ever said, that's a really sweet person? God's a really sweet person. Just because he has the capacity to destroy the whole world doesn't mean he's not kind. Scripture says God is love. And 1 Corinthians says love is kind. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. In other words, it's when we sin, it's the awareness that the one who's waiting for me to restore me, to cleanse me, is kind. He's not someone who's waiting for me in anger, prepared to judge and condemn and reject. That I can afford, it motivates me to repent because the person who's waiting for me on the other side of repentance is a kind person. And it's because of his kindness that I'm led to repent. That's what that means. It's faith. Repentance is an act of faith. And faith's foundation is that God is kind. It says in Psalm 145, verse 17, that every deed that God does flows out of his kindness. Every deed. Let me read this one more verse. Now, I may be saying something to you that seems really familiar, but I can tell you for years I've quoted that verse It's the kindness of God, not the anger or the judgment of God. But it's different to see that he treats you kindly and bring you repentance. But what are you going to find when you get there? No, it's the character that God is kind that leads us to repentance. This is Romans 11, 22 and 23. Behold, then, the kindness and severity of God to those who fell. Severity, but to you in Christ, God's kindness. If you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Now, what's he saying here? He said, severity is just being cut off from God's kindness. And we're cut off from God's kindness by unbelief in God's kindness. He's saying to the Gentiles, you're grafted in because you've believed in the grace of God. You trusted in his kindness. They didn't trust in his kindness anymore. They thought somehow they could perform enough to earn so that an angry God would stop being angry at them. But he says here in verse 23, but if they do not continue in their unbelief, unbelief in what? God's kindness. They get grafted in again. They get to experience all the benefits of God's kindness. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, paid for how many people's sins? Ever, the whole world. Nobody's going to die and go to hell because their sins weren't paid for. Because nobody's going to die and go to hell because forgiveness wasn't purchased for them. People are going to die and go to hell because they didn't trust in God's kindness. Because they didn't believe. That's the severity. Is that you've cut yourself off through your unbelief from God's kindness. How much stuff do we go through? The guilt, the severity of emotions, because we stop believing in God's kindness. We live in fear, judgment, condemnation, rejection, God's anger. But I'm just telling you, God is kind. He's not in a bad mood. And you can't get him in a bad mood. And even if he, quote, disciplines you, all of his deeds are full of kindness. We might look at a place tomorrow in Ephesians where it says, God's full of kind intentions. Well, of course, if you're kind, then everything you do has kind intentions. Amen? So things like Eucharist, this is part of God's kindness. That's one of the reasons I don't want to miss. I want to experience all of God's kindness that I can. And this is a really hard word, particularly if you're a performer, if you're a perfectionist. Because you're a lot harder on yourself than God is. You're not very kind to yourself a lot. But God wants us to be set free and to be able to rest in his kindness. Amen?